You're listening to the Creepcast on DownrightCreepy.com. Now, here's your creepy host.
All right, welcome to the Creepcast. I am Casey Canton, and joined today by Joe Cox, who is another paranormal lover, if you will. Enthusiast.
Yeah, fan, you know? It's definitely a fan, and I think it's cool. A, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
This is a horror and paranormal nerd's dream. But also, you know, talking about a little bit about what we'll be talking about today is like team ups.
Yeah, so, right.
You know, you and Pop Marketer together, this is a great, it's a good lead in to some of the stuff we'll talk about on Ghostover.
Yeah, it's interesting because Joe and I have worked together off and on here for, 10 years ago, it feels like at this point. And so we slowly kind of found our love for horror and paranormal after the fact. And so we got to talking and we thought, hey, this would be awesome to get on and do a show together about paranormal stuff specifically. And what better way to kick that off than with Travel Channel's Ghostober, which is the third annual event for Travel Channel. They're like the kings of paranormal programming right now. And such a huge slate of stuff to talk about today. Totally. So Joe and I want to kind of run down what you can expect with Travel Channel's Ghostober throughout the month of October. They've already had some things, but really it's backloaded. So this is the perfect time for us to get on and chat about this. And then later on in the show, we're going to have the guys from Ghost Nation, Steve and Tango, on to talk about the episodes that we got to watch, which included Evil Inc., and Reunion in Hell, when they get together with some old friends of theirs. But before we get into the interviews, let's talk about this jam-packed piece of programming from Travel Channel. It's always my favorite time of the year in general, October. There's all sorts of horror stuff that's on TV organically, on streaming channels, and it's been extra juicy this year. With the pandemic, everything kind of got pushed, I think, into an October release, even if they weren't planning on it, and so many virtual events. So this is just kind of the cherry on top. If you're tired of watching films, you can go over to something that feels a little more real. So let's kick this off with some Ghostober programming. What do we have to start out with? Should we start with this Ghost Adventures?
Yeah, I mean, we got to go that first. We got to get that out of the way, because leave it up to the Ghost Adventures gang to kind of take it a little bit over the top.
Yeah.
And hit right into pop culture goodness that happened towards, actually, it seems like a lifetime ago, but like the Tiger
beginning of quarantine
era. Was beginning of the quarantine. It was kind of like that was Joe Exotic rise and hit on Netflix, hit at that weirdo perfect time when everybody was kind of stuck inside. Everything had shut down. There wasn't a lot of new programming and everybody was kind of looking for that something to talk about.
It definitely got a making a murderer type of boost, I felt like, which is interesting because it does make you wonder, if there's no quarantine, does it happen, right? Does it really take off the way it did? But here we are, many months later, we're still talking about it. There's a movie that's going to happen with Joe Exotic. It spawned a bunch of stuff, podcasts.
There's a couple things. There's we have not only that, but on Dancing with the Stars.
Carol Baskin.
We have Baskin.
That B, Carol Baskin's on.
Yeah, Carol Baskin became a TikTok like sensation too during all this. It has really grown legs, and now sitting here in October, they're getting yet another boost. I don't know if it's a good boost. Meaning like, I don't know if we want like, you know, these people being more famous.
Right.
They're entertaining, and why not put ghosts involved into it?
Well, I know that there was a friend of mine, we were doing Super Creepy Fun Time Hour Genius, and I brought this up specifically, and he's like, what are they gonna investigate? Like her, Carol Baskin's dead husband? I'm like, well, that's not where he would have died. They're probably investigating the young man that shot himself, amongst other things.
Well, Ghost Adventures will be at Joe Exotic's Zoo.
Which has since been shut down and seized.
No one
with them owns it.
Baskins.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. The Ghost Adventure guys, I enjoy because they bring a different set of personalities, right? Like it's all about personalities with these shows and how they approach something. And one thing I do appreciate about Ghost Adventures, if nothing else, is what Zach has been able to build and that museum that he has in Vegas, which I would love to go to. And someday when this quarantine's over, I will go. Maybe we can fly out there together. Flights to Vegas are cheap, and check that out. So yeah, that's the first thing that's coming up or that caught our eye, I think, outside of Ghost Nation is Ghost Adventures Horror at the Joe Exotic Zoo. It's going to be Thursday, October 29th at 9 p.m. where Zach and the guys go inside
and
investigate that.
I think the perfect thing for me and this idea paranormal people that take it seriously, not necessarily fans of the Ghost Adventures guys.
Yep.
Because they're the famous yell at ghosts, yell at ghost guys, right? The bros who like yell at ghosts. But
yep.
I mean, they have brought so much entertainment to my household.
Right.
My whole family. We love it, yelling at ghosts. And I think it does give a little bit of, hey, this at the end of the day is entertainment.
Right. Yeah.
At the end of the day, whenever it comes to Ghost Adventures, yes, they're going to real places, but it's TV. That's okay. Like, there's a lot of entertainment, and they have really, like you said, Zach has made there's been 100 shows that it's popped out into.
Yeah.
So nothing but respect when it comes to that side. But of course, I'm not a paranormal investigator that would.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's almost a guilty pleasure. It's interesting because I remember back in the day, I would always think of like, you got Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures for fan bases. Now they're all under one roof on the Charitable Channel, which I think is super interesting when they're almost like competing in a sense. And now everyone's under the same brand.
Well, I will say that, again, two things. Travel Channel in general has gone all in, has pushed
mm-hmm.
all chips to the sides of the paranormal. And whenever you see this breakout of Ghostober, you totally see like their lineup is absolutely nuts. And whenever sci-fi and other places are kind of trailing, you know, we're kind of trailing off of that. Now they have their own reunions and different cool stuff going on, but Travel Channel coming in and really, like you said, taking both sides, that fan base for Ghost Hunters and that fan base for Ghost Adventures, putting it on their roof and then having 100 things in between that,
I know,
that are like different things on the spectrum of kind of really entertaining to stuff that's really into people that are into the history and stories and the true investigative nature. And it's cool. It can all live under one place.
I mean, they've got something for everyone, which leads me to the next show, Portals to Hell. Featuring Jack Osborne, Katrina Weidman. That is going to be on Friday, October 30th at 8 p.m. So if you're not familiar with that, Jack Osborne and Katrina have teamed up and they're going to some of the most haunted places in all of Connecticut. So it's interesting that that's very niche in a sense of where they're investigating. And it's a 2-hour special that they're going to have. The whole Osborne family is gonna chime in for this. So you're gonna have Kelly, you're gonna have Ozzy, you're gonna have everybody. So it's interesting too because they do have I think it's on Travel Channel. Jack had a show where he just traveled around with Ozzy and Kelly and went to like just different places, like catching up with his dad because he missed out so much time as a kid when his dad was on tour and doing, you know, God knows what. It's cool to see the Osborne family, I guess, still around because another pop culture thing, they blew up outside of just music, and they became a family phenomenon. And now here we are crossing over into another phenomenon of ghost hunting and paranormal. And pretty interesting, I think, to get that. So it's another set of personalities, another show, and they all have their different flavors, like we mentioned.
Yeah, Jack, I mean, the Osbournes, what a perfect, again, it's, Jack's really into this stuff.
Right? Absolutely. Like, yeah, he's not just fooling around with it.
And it's not the paycheck, for sure. It is, yeah. He is really into it. And if you haven't caught Portals to Hell yet, it's great. And who is his?
Katrina.
Katrina, and she comes from a background, a more paranormal investigative background.
More traditional. Yeah.
More traditional. So it's a killer team up. They're great together. Jack's really entertaining. It's good to see him back and really going into that passion. And to bring back the Osbournes into it. Again, if you didn't think paranormal had gone pop culture, the Travel Channel has tied everything up in a bow for us.
Between the Osbournes and Joe Exotic, I mean, you couldn't get more of a pop culture crossover into paranormal and mainstream of where it's really become. It's really interesting what we have here, I feel like, and the eclectic group of people that we've got. We've also got, this is more of kind of a clip show, but we've got the paranormal caught on camera top 100. And this is kind of in bite-sized pieces. So it's almost leveraging what we've seen rise to fame on YouTube, where it's, you know, top 5, top 10 videos, and things like Slapped Ham or Nuke's Top 5, where they've got a million subscribers, right? That's the same formula that we're dealing with here. And it works. And so this is going to be in bite-sized chunks. You've watched some of it. I have not yet. What is your first take and first impression? Does it feel like kind of what I mentioned? Like it's a YouTube clip show?
It's totally. And again, this is so, we've got so many little like insights of, especially from the pop marketing side of things. So you, now instead of YouTube copying from TV, right? You literally have TV bringing up this thing that's been so extremely popular on YouTube. And I've seen about everything on it because I mean, I love it. It's nothing like real video, even if it's horrible, to just give it that little bit of niche of, ooh, what's going to come up next. But they're breaking it down, I think, into 10 per episode, right? So that's the thing that kind of is the filler through the middle of this Ghostober, right? Which is just a ton of content. So to keep you watching through the entire month, it's a really smart filler and something that they just have to curate, and they don't have to create any kind of new content. They just have to rewrap it up, right?
Yeah. Find the best stuff out there and serve it up to us. They've also come up with these 2-hour shock doc specials. Mm-hmm. They just did one on the Warrens. The beginning of the month, I think. But there's another one, The Exorcism of Roland Doe. And that's going to premiere Tuesday, October 27th at 9 p.m. And it's the 1973 exorcism that shocked moviegoers. So it's playing out the true story behind The Exorcist. And if I recall, and I'm not familiar with Roland Doe, the name, but the true story that it's based on is actually based out of St. Louis.
The hospital.
Yep.
The actual hospital, and I believe where the family was from, but the Catholic hospital that the child, and I believe it was a male child, not a female child, but it was in St. Louis. And weirdly enough, I graduated high school with a girl whose grandfather was a priest inside that hospital.
No way.
And had some interesting stories about that boy's and during that time. So had some.
Oh, that's incredible. How do we get him on the podcast? Would he do it?
If he's still around.
Right. Yeah.
But Erica might, I might be able to get her
to tap into that.
Talk about some of the stories her grandpa said, but it is a local close to home kind of story. And I mean, how can you not? That itself led us all into satanic panic, and
right,
it did so much pop culture wise to really terrify people. And well, and
we watched Shudder's Cursed Films, and one of them is The Exorcist, and it talks about how the hysteria around that movie in general that occurred was really manufactured in every sense of the way. And the hype train that built into the kind of the anxiety I think people had going into the movie, standing in lines, knowing people were fainting or vomiting or, you know, having ambulances waiting outside as a precursor to be like, oh, you're going to need, you might need this ambulance. All of that, plus what churches were saying about it. I mean, it was a perfect mixture of panic-induced marketing that worked for them and amplified it. So it'll be interesting to see, because I've watched something on YouTube. I've read some things about it. It'll be interesting to see another take on it. Since I haven't familiarized myself enough with it. So checking out The Exorcism of Roland Doe on October 27th.
Yeah, I'll totally be there. I've seen it. If I see 100, I'll check out the 101st. So it never gets old.
And so let's go ahead and push into Ghost Nation here. We've kind of hit all the notes of what we're going to have. We have Destination Fear. We have the Holzer Files that we haven't touched on, but I don't want to dive too deep into those, but know that that's part of the programming, and know that now we want to dive into Ghost Nation. And the two episodes we were able to watch were Evil Inc., which is premiering as we speak, and then Reunion in Hell, that will be I think it's October 26th. So a lot of the programming, like I said, is backloaded. Everything we talked about tonight, there's going to be a special kind of that week of Halloween for everything. So set your DVRs for that. But let's go ahead and talk about Evil Inc. that we got to watch and talk to the guys about. What were your, I guess we set it up a little bit, right? Like, what is Evil Inc.? They're going to check out some paranormal activity that's taking place in a tattoo parlor. I believe it was Zone 13. That's also, I believe Steve said it best when he said, this is almost like a museum as much as it is a tattoo parlor for some of the oddities that are inside and antiques. So that's setting it up, and they're having trouble keeping people, employees. They're having trouble keeping customers because they come in and get spooked, and they've had experiences that's making it hard to keep their business open, which stinks because we're in a pandemic on top of it. So I'm hoping that they resolve this paranormal piece before the pandemic hit and we get some resolution on the show. So now that we've set it up, what were your initial thoughts, takeaways? What were some of your favorite moments from Evil Inc.?
Well, I mean, anytime you're going to be visiting a tattoo parlor, and I have heard, you know, I've been around long enough to have explored a few tattoo parlors through podcasts or TV shows that have been haunted tattoo parlors. It tells you something, right? Especially if you can't keep, if the staff is scared, because you're usually dealing, you're not dealing with a regular restaurant or a hospital, or, you know, we're talking about people that usually don't scare very easily. And not only that, but people that, for some reason, you know, are a little bit more okay with death or the idea of
macabre,
you know, metal and like cool the stuff that we dig, you know. So it tells you a lot on the get-go if you're visiting this tattoo parlor that A, you're going to be, and they're having trouble keeping people in there, that whatever they're dealing with is going to be, you know.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that they had trouble keeping patrons in there, because it's like, man, it's, and they said, you know, it's happening day, night, all week, you know, it's very active. So it has to be, if you can't even keep your customers there, you know, usually when this stuff happens, you see it happening more on paranormal shows too, when it's dead quiet, they're provoking it in some way to try and bring it forward, or maybe there's an object it's attached to, or an action that happened. But this is just guys, you know, sitting around getting tattoos and stuff's happening to them. So it's got to be pretty active. And it's a pretty big building for a tattoo place. It's tattoo and body piercing. But again, it does have kind of the oddities and antique setup as well. So yeah, some of the things that were happening, you know, the co-owner had a big scratch come across his belly. They'd had voices, all kinds of EVPs, and really everything that they talked about, I think aside from a scratch, but the touching, the EVPs, we see that come to life for the guys that are investigating it. So am I right or correct that it was it Bertha that they thought was an entity that was at the building?
Yeah.
And one of the things we were able to talk about with the guys was the investigation part.
We had talked to the guys, and you'll get to see this whenever we talk to them, but you know, Steve and Tango both come from this like police officer background, right? Mm-hmm. And meaning that Tango's dad, also a paranormal investigator, by the way, which is kind of how he got into mm-hmm. it, but a detective, his brother, a detective, he's been around it his whole life. Steve, a detective at one time, like
yeah,
both of these guys, investigation part of it is a big part of kind of how they differentiate themselves. Mm-hmm. And through Travel Channel, you see that times 10 in these shows. And that's why I'm a big fan of Ghost Nation right now, because they really get to dig down into the stories of a ghost story, right? Like a ghost yeah. story is not just the scary part.
Yeah.
It's got a beginning, a middle, and an end. So they go into each time and they're trying to prove, hey, this is what the stories have been told over years, but we know yeah. that gets funky, you know, like that's where kind of
the urban legend stuff pops yes. up, right?
So what they really do is, you know, and through this too, is try to find the history, find the proof, find everything that would lead you to say, okay, so the story you're saying about this person lead to actually this kind of person.
Or yeah, and it's something that they did try, you know, they did that to some extent with Ghost Hunters. But it's able to be expanded upon in greater detail with this show and Ghost Nation. But the reason I brought up Bertha is because, and setting it up with your explanation is because they do find, now that it's been out, I feel like I can talk about it. They do find out that lady did die, but it wasn't in the store. It was somewhere else completely. So this whole idea of maybe she's the one there haunting us because she died, in the building is not the case. Now, would the spirit come back to where it once was? Maybe. That could be the case. I'm not sure. But they did disprove that through the research they did, that she did not pass away there. So I thought that was an interesting takeaway from it, and shows and backs up our interview that we were doing and your comment about the investigative
yeah, piece. Yeah, these guys are great. And yeah. If you've seen kind of a spoiler too for the interviews, but mm-hmm. they've had at times whenever the investigation isn't done yet and they're asking Travel Channel, hey, we need more time. And yeah. so they create an hour episode into a 2-hour episode because yeah. their investigations have led them down all these different paths in the goal of helping the actual family, right?
Right.
Not the goal of getting the chair to shake, but in the
right,
goal
yeah.
to get the family or the business owners or whoever it is some help, which is cool and respectable.
Yeah. And then they have a reunion in hell that's coming up with Amy that they haven't seen. I think they said it was like 7 years since they had investigated with her. So I thought that was super interesting because it doesn't feel like it's been that long since I had seen her with Steve, Tango, and Jason, or even Grant for that matter. And boy, it just feels like it's time goes by so quick.
It does. And not only that, but I mean, pop culture, like you always love a good team up, right? Like yeah. my favorite episodes of Scooby-Doo were all
crossovers
whenever the crossovers happen, right?
Like, for sure. Like,
that was the only time I'd see Batman, you know, sometimes Batman, Robin, and Joker, or the Globetrotters, I was a big fan of. So there's something very, you know, just because of Scooby-Doo in general, something that really goes together, peanut butter and jelly, of like putting that Kindred Spirits and Ghost Nation team together. And the fact yeah. that this world is so circular that they have history together.
It's kind of a spinoff, right? It's a spinoff from Ghost Hunters in a lot of ways. And that reunion, I believe I said the 26th earlier, it takes place Saturday, October 31st, because it's a Halloween special.
It is the big day.
Yeah, so I feel special. We got to see that before. And Destination,
that's a cool thing too.
I know.
See this stuff a little bit before I usually would when I'm sitting in front of the TV. Doesn't matter, I'll still be there.
Sure.
I'll still watch the final piece, but... really cool. Love the team ups. And again, it's like a little paranormal ghost hunting reunions, of them being able to quickly jump in together and understand each other. And it was really cool to watch that. And the property they are investigating is absolutely ridiculous.
Dude, I was actually just watching it again before we hopped on. And there's a specific part, and I'm not going to spoil anything. I'll just bring one thing up that creeped me out the most about the reunion episode. They are in a place with Reverend Shipman. That's one of the people they're trying to contact. And they're in he's a reverend. So they're in a room where it's kind of echoey. And like, what if we play organ music and try and make it feel like church, like call to church? And just hearing the organ music and knowing what they're trying to do, and at that point, I didn't even have the window up. I was only listening. And it was the second time I'd watch it, and it still kind of gave me the creeps a little bit, hearing that organ music and trying to summon someone, which then does make me wonder, first of all, have you ever been ghost hunting? I haven't, personally.
It's amazing, but it's just the same. I just started my first D&D campaign at 41. I've always been such a paranormal and what's in the darkness super fan, but I never really hung out with people that did that. I was
right, same here,
have that team, right, of people. I wouldn't go in by myself, so
right,
it's not gonna happen. So I'm with you. I have not, but I'm not against it, right? Like I'm just looking for the right opportunity.
I'm in the same boat, but I'm questioning if I could do some of the stuff that they do on occasion, just because you sit at home and you're like, well, if I'm with someone, you know, that seems pretty easy. But then you take the other side of it where you got the ghost adventure guys that everyone should be used to this by now, right? Like to some extent. And all of them get spooked in some way, which we bring up with Steve on the interview that you'll see here in just a minute. But I always question myself because I feel like a lot of people are cool on their couch at home when they can make fun of stuff sometimes, or they say, you know, something about the shows that maybe they don't watch it as much, or maybe they don't believe in ghosts. But I'm like, I don't know, man. You put yourself in that scenario, you hear a whisper, you feel someone brush against your hair, and that'll make you a believer, I think, even if you're not. So these people take
good TV. It definitely does. And the thing is, you're right. And the other thing you have to understand is we can see everything that's going on because they're using, you know, cameras that allow them to see in through the pitch darkness. But they are most of the time doing this, which is 10 times the fear factor goes up. In our DNA, like we're doing it in pitch dark, right? So playing organ music, doing calling out and asking questions and hearing noises,
hearing a response on a spirit box. We had tons of questions we didn't get to ask the guys that we're going to try and get them on for another episode in more long form where we can do a full, you know, Creepcast episode with them rather than just a snippet. And I'd love to dig in to their brains a little bit throughout the years. They have so many stories I'm sure they can tell that haven't made it on TV. But the thing that probably creeps me out the most are those spirit boxes when they ask questions. It's very loud already, and you're just in the anticipation of hearing a hit on that, whether it's a voice or when they use the, I'm blanking on the tool right now, but it's like the dictionary when it comes through with just a word. Any of those things, I think that, cause that's real confirmation. That's not like, well, maybe we heard a bump in the background and it was, an animal of some kind, or maybe a coincidence, but these are voices that you can't explain.
Right. And then they've others have upped it to the Estes method. Another thing
that
the Newkirks and stuff are using now.
Yeah.
And that is I love nothing better than innovation on already creepy tech. But yeah. Whenever you've now put somebody in, completely taken away sight, taken away hearing, and then having them repeat the things that they've heard.
Yep.
It's cool. And I will say, in this Ghost Nation and all the stuff that we've seen so far, I'm always a big fan of what tech is next. You know, mm-hmm. what are they going to? And it definitely does not disappoint. Ghost Nation comes with a whole, not only kind of that investigation nature, but then a whole lot of different methods that I haven't seen a ton of how to measure.
Scientific approach. Yeah.
Right. It's super cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, all right, I think we should go ahead and hear from the guys. We had a few minutes to chat with them about the episodes that are coming up. And I really wanted to dive into the gaming piece with Tango, but that's for another time, with Phasmophobia, which I need to talk to you more about as well. But let's jump over to the interviews. Everyone check out Ghostober on the Travel Channel. They've got your last week of October filled with stuff. So hit your DVR, check it out on the app, the Travel Channel app. And we will hope you guys have a happy Halloween. Joe, thanks again for joining me on this. And should we throw it to the guys?
Yeah, favorite time of the year. I love this interview too. They're great dudes, and you can just totally tell. I could totally hang with these guys. So hope everybody digs it.
All right, let's check out Steve and Tango on Ghost Nation. All right, Steve and Tango, thank you so much for joining us here on the Creepcast during our favorite time of year. Of course, that's Ghostober, right? So we really appreciate that. And we got new episodes of Ghost Nation. They're kicking off October 17th at 9:00 Eastern on the Travel Channel. So we were able to get a sneak peek of that. Evil Inc., Reunion in Hell. We watched those. And I think the first question I have will be for Steve. And that is, have you ever laid on a cot before? Or was this the first time?
for the Halloween special,
it was an unexpected highlight of the episode for me. I apologize, but
my favorite part is when you just see Jay sort of, you know, in his hammock, like, "Hey, what's wrong with you?" And I'm falling out of the cot. Yeah.
So yeah, people will get to experience that there on Reunion in Hell. But I wanted to start off here with something that I love about Ghost Nation. Is I feel like you kind of took Ghost Hunters, which I loved, and reinvented it a little bit. It plays out more like a documentary series to me, with kind of the cutaways of the buildings and just the way it's shot. And I love that. So that being said, what do you think is the biggest difference or evolution that you've had in the show throughout all these years?
Well, that's a great observation. With Ghost Nation, you know, our previous work, it was very much the pursuit of the best piece of paranormal evidence, you know, the what's going to change people's mind, what's going to blow people away. We were still helping people, but it was, you know, it was a preliminary investigation is what you saw. You know, you saw a preliminary investigation, and we went in for a day or two and had to leave as quickly as we got there. With Ghost Nation, we're seeing all the cases through to fruition, which may be one of the reasons it has that grander feel to it. It's kind of a mix of history, true crime, and paranormal. We do a lot of research. But the fact that we're able to take cases from the beginning, in terms of when we get them, through to fruition, you know, to a resolution, is very valuable. You know, when we leave, we're helping people and leaving them in a better situation than before we got there. And with our previous work, that wasn't always the case, but it is with Ghost Nation. And that honestly comes from the network allowing us to take the amount of time that's necessary and believing in what we do enough to give us those liberties. You know, they've been fantastic. Travel Channel has been the best home that we could ask for. And as a fan of the paranormal, I think paranormal enthusiasts and fans of people who just want to go on the adventure of a paranormal investigation, the show really speaks to them. And it wouldn't be without Travel, you know, that we have this platform. So it's pretty cool.
Well, like what Steve said, it's, you know, seeing the faces when you first get to the homeowner's house or the, you know, the business owner, seeing how they're kind of, you see the fear in their eyes, you know, they are afraid of what's happening. And then leaving the house or business and seeing how the relief in their faces and in their eyes, that knowing that we're able to, we are actually helping people. And I say this a lot, it's really the motivation for me personally. And I know for Steve and Jason as well to, you know, keep doing what we're doing, you know, doing that research, really finding out what is here, what's happening. And that is for me, the biggest change from before and to now.
Yeah. That's really cool to see where you guys were and where you've come.
Right.
Yeah. And to bring up the research, I mean, a ghost story is a story. And I don't think before we were getting the one part of the story and a really narrow one, but I really will commend, you know, Travel Channel and you all for, I mean, you've been through it from the beginning and seen this whole pop culture thing blow up, but to really take it back and to say, okay, we got to tell the story. Where can we say that this, can we pinpoint this person in history to this place or find out something new? For you, for both of you, you know, does that kind of, the research side of that, does that come from a background, family and police, you know, for that investigation side of it? Has it always been something that you love to do, or is that something that really it kind of sparked it?
And I would say, so, you know, you touched on it with, you know, our family, like Steve was a police officer, my brother and my father are police officers, and just kind of having that analytical mind, you know, just the search for the truth, find out what is really happening. I should say it came from my dad, you know, him kind of teaching me when I was young. But being able to really do what we've always wanted to do, and now we're able to do it with Travel Channel, makes the hugest difference in the world.
For me, the research has become very, very valuable, because when we do this solid research, we end up changing history for a lot of places, and it goes into their lexicon. And, you know, when you go to Seaview Terrace, these places that, you know, the history is in the history books, it's in the newspapers, and we actually change that by doing solid research. We've actually had historians and organizations and buildings and properties say, wow, how did we not know this? Like, this is, you know, and we really get deeds and records and death certificates. And, you know, you keep saying that Charlie the ghost is, but no such thing as Charlie. You know, he never died. Like, we're able to really, we didn't want to, you know, travel down roads that we didn't need to travel down. You know, we wanted to just take the truth and try, you know, and that comes through the research. But I will say, and I don't mean to say this, but Travel Channel, and I hate to keep saying that they're the ones, but it's just true. They told us whatever you guys need to do to get your investigations done. And I'll give you a quick example. Our season, you know, opener of season two wasn't supposed to be a 2-hour episode. It was a normal investigation, but being able to follow all of these leads and investigating the way we wanted to and do the research, we realized we needed a lot more time there. And Travel Channel said, whatever you guys, if you need more time, you're there for another week, get to the bottom of it. Whereas in our previous work, they would have been like, okay, but that's not part of the story we're following, so move on, fellas. You know, you need to stay within the confines of the structure of this television show here, where this is like, oh, you think that's relevant to the investigation? If it keeps us there another week, which is, let's face it, a tremendous expense that a network isn't just going to go, go for it, fellas. But they do. They say, take whatever time you need. We believe in what you're doing, and you know, we're here to support you. And we had never had that before. You know, sci-fi was good to us, of course, but still you had a confined format you had to stick to. And we had never experienced anybody saying to us, how you investigate is important to us. And if you feel that this is where the case should go to help these people, we support you. It's never happened to us before. So it's a new world for us, and it's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, just learning that 2 hours, that wasn't necessarily supposed to be 2 hours. Mm-mm. I mean, that episode alone had me from beginning till end. And, you know, going all through the town, not just the home, but, you know, working with police, working with different historians, all of that. I loved that larger picture that it gave. So good on you and good on Travel Channel.
Thank you. And that's an isolated incident. That's happened a few times. When you see a 2-hour episode on our show, it's literally because we can't leave. If we leave now, we're not helping anybody. We're actually making things worse. We can't leave. And they say, you're right. Stay, do what you need to do. And, you know, it happens organically and unfolds right before us as it does the viewer. It's an adventure. It really is. And it hadn't been that way before. So that to me would probably be the major difference between our previous work and this work is, you know, the self-fulfillment as an investigator and the fact of knowing that the audience is getting, you know, a pretty realistic depiction of what a paranormal investigation is really like.
You're going along the ride with us as it happens in real time, basically. And that's pretty awesome, I think, for the viewers as well.
Yeah, it's great to have a partner like that to be able to tell the whole story as it's supposed to be told. I wanted to bring up the Evil Ink episode, the tattoo shop specifically is a big part of it that you guys investigate. And when you walk in, you see it's antiques and oddities, which is just an awesome place. We have one here in our hometown, and I love those stores. They're so interesting to go into. Steve, you brought up it kind of looks like your house. And the backdrop here is pretty cool. There's not a lot of oddities in it right now, but you did mention that. So I'm curious, is there a specific antique? There we go. Antique or oddity that you own that is most interesting to you or prized possession? And could you talk about that?
You know, yeah, there are a few. I have some really interesting things. You know, as you see, it may sound a little macabre, but that's a real human skull. You know, I have a lot of those around me. But I think my prized possession isn't an oddity. It's an antique. It happened on Ghost Nation, you know, where we had an amazing paranormal experience surrounding a real Civil War sword. So much so that I bought the sword. You know, I had to have it. I said, this is mine. I'm not leaving without it. And worked out a deal with the you know, it was owned by a historical antiques dealer. And I have it. It's right here, if you'll give me a moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Remember this thing.
Yeah, this is this is the real sword that was in that episode. We had a proximity sensor attached to it. And through Tango and I, you know, through our procedure, you know, through the techniques we implemented we role played, we put on garments from the era. Yep. We used this sword and we got, at least I think, some pretty definitive proof of the paranormal. You know, if this was a show about oddities and the macabre, I'd show you everything and take you around, but you know,
another podcast, another time, that would be incredible.
Yeah. Knowing that something, a ghost, touch that sword and you have it, that's pretty awesome. I love that you have that sword.
I do. It's right here, and I love it. I talk to it, I touch it, I hold it, I yield it. I haven't put it through anyone yet, but
not yet.
When you came out of the store holding it like this, and like people are like looking at you, you have a full sword coming out on the street. It's like, you gotta put that away, man. Come on.
I was walking down the street yielding a sword, and people were like, hey man, like that. I'm pretty
you're
sure
excited. I get it.
Tackled by someone.
Are you ever scared there's something still attached to something like that?
You know, I think about it sometimes. Yeah. I do. But it hasn't happened yet. I would welcome it, but I'm not looking for it because, and this sounds silly, but I do value sleep and my time. And, you know, I like to visit it, but I don't want to be up all night wondering what's going to slam or move around. It hasn't happened yet. And I feel like I have enough stuff in here that if it did happen, you know, that's a 15th century skull from, you know, like if there's something, something's gonna already be here maybe, but we don't know what their interpretation of time is, right? It's 10 years here. It could be a second to them. Mm-hmm. So maybe it just hasn't happened yet. You know, it's always like, it could be coming. Yeah. It could be coming.
I know we're pretty close against time. Joe, do you have another question?
I was just going to say, well, one of my favorite things, Steve, from the beginning, I mean, I've been with you all, you know, since college through this whole thing and watched it blow up through popular culture. And glad to see you all back at it and love that evolution, right, that it's taking. But I'll tell you, Steve, the reason that I love both of you as kind of that team up is because you still get scared, dude, like a lot. And it's awesome because I'm the same way. It's like, I'm not that kid in my, you know, the dark anymore, but I still, you know, that fear and that kind of awness of that comes through, and it really humanizes the show for me. Cause after 20 years, you could still get spooked, and that is, it's great.
Thanks. That's all, you know, if a door slams in your face, how can you not get, I mean, it's just
100%.
If you see a dark mass moving, how are you not going, what is happening? You know, it's just a mixture of, I guess, a bit of a fright, but also excitement, intrigue. We got to figure it out. It's, I mean, Tango and I, we are literally brought to tears through paranormal experiences. Like, you don't know how to explain it, how to process it. You just get so excited. Like, we tear up, we high five, we need a few minutes to, like,
know how to function. It's like, what's going on? What's happening in front of me? This doesn't seem like it's real. So what does your brain do? It just, all these, you know, pistons and levers and gears are starting to fire up that never have fired up before. And you start tearing up because it's like your body and brain doesn't understand what's happening. And that's, I didn't realize that until it started happening to me personally. It's like, oh my God, why am I tearing up? I'm crying right now. Because I'm having a legit experience, and it's pretty awesome.
Well, that's great. We can't wait to see more of those here on Ghost Nation when the season 2 resumes October 17th, again, 9 p.m. Eastern. And then we got that special 2-hour crossover event, Reunion in Hell with Amy and Adam. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We were able to check that out. But Steve, Tango, thanks so much for joining us. Joe and I here on the Creepcast. Hopefully we can catch up with you guys again real soon, and have a great Halloween.
Anytime, guys. Thank you for having us, and keep up the good work.
You too.
Care. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Listening to a Downright Creepy original on the Crickets Podcast Network.